Luke chapter 2, one of the great challenges preaching around Christmas is what to preach. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes I do feel like, you know, I've seen some guys get real original with what they consider to be a Christmas message, you know. And just truth be told, what I'm going to preach tonight, I have preached before, but if I hadn't have said that, I don't think anybody would have come up and said, "Preacher, I remember that message." Because some of you can't remember what I preached this morning, all right? But now the problem is we're putting them on the internet, and somebody go back, and I honestly don't want two of them out there, the same one. So this one I haven't preached since we started putting things up on the internet, so it'll be new, all right? Luke chapter 2, if you will. I want you to drop down to verse 25. We're going to kind of look at a little different. What I'm going to preach is a little bit kind of a, I guess it's an original idea of a take on the birth of Christ. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Now I want you to go back to verse, if you will, to verse 25, all right? There's one word in there that we're going to look at just a little bit. There are a number of things that I personally think are marvelous about Christmas time, all right? Obviously, the greatest thing is the provision of the gift of our Savior so we might have eternal life, so we might have the opportunity to get born again. What a great thing that is. I was talking last night. I mentioned talking yesterday during the day talking to a fellow at the stadium. He and I got to talking, and he was talking about he had a Presbyterian and a Baptist background, but he was now a Methodist because he said, "I'm a Methodist by marriage." And I told him, I said, "Well, you know what? The most important thing you can do is make sure you're born again, all right?" And so I talked to him about that a little bit. But we can only be born again because of the birth of our Lord and Savior, all right? He came to be the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that was he paid our sin debt for us. And what a blessing. And that's the greatest thing there is about this time of year, is to remember that. But I don't know, I enjoy the lights. Now you say, "Well, why don't you put them up?" I enjoy seeing them in somebody else's yard. I enjoy going and seeing those lights and all of that. I enjoy the fun that it's there at Christmas time. I have a great time Christmas caroling. That's a wonderful thing. It's good to get together with family. Hey, if the only family is you and your wife, enjoy that time, all right? It's good to get together, and I enjoy the food at Christmas, all right? I like that sweet stuff, and it likes me. So we can go on and on. There's a lot of things to enjoy about it. But what I want to preach to you tonight is not about the great things to do with Christmas, but I want to preach to you the worst part of Christmas. Say the worst? Yeah, the worst part. You said, well, that would be something like shopping, having to go shop. Now that's a pain. You have to do that. I guess the miser would say it was just spending money, period, you know. He doesn't enjoy that. And, of course, there's always Scrooge that everything in, about Christmas, it's bah humbug, you know. Some might even say it's the putting up with kinfolks. You know, they come by and you have to put up with them. Some would say, well, it's the overindulgence. Some would argue this commercialization. We go on and on, but I don't believe any of those are the most difficult part. You said, what is it? Well, it's found there in verse 25, that word there that says waiting. Waiting. Notice it said, here was this man Simeon, just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I believe the worst part of Christmas is waiting. Just waiting. Do you remember when you were a kid? When I was a kid, waiting for Christmas, thought it'd never get here. Waiting for the day we'd put up the Christmas tree, all right? Now can't wait to take it down. But anyway, we're waiting. Waiting for school to end so we wouldn't have to go to school. We'd have that good break at Christmas. Waiting was a hard thing to put up with. Waiting, you know, to open the presents. Once you find out there's a present under the tree with your name on it, you want to get in there and you think of it. I dare say most of you here, now you may not do it anymore, but years ago maybe you did. You got under the tree and you shook them. Some of you probably still do it today, all right? But you tried to guess what it was and look it over and just waiting to open those things, waiting for kinfolks to arrive. And, you know, waiting for them to get there. And there's always some that are late, right? Somebody's always got to be the ones late, waiting for them to get there because we can't eat until they're all there. Waiting, just waiting for that, all right? And going through all that, having to wait for dessert. Waiting. I tell you, that was the worst part, I think. The worst part of Christmas was wait. It would seem like hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. I remember as a child, hurry up, we're going to get dressed. We're going to Grandma and Grandpa's house. We'd go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. We'd get there, and guess what? We hurried so we could wait. And we waited. I hated that waiting. I think it's the worst part. You said, preacher, there's no scriptural application at all. Well, I'll just wait and tell you something. There is something. Waiting for at Christmas is nothing new. Nothing new. You look, if you will, here what we've just read in the scripture. Here's some folks that had waited. Waited. Simeon had been told by the Holy Ghost, told him, you're not going to die. You will not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look, when you've been told that, you get pretty excited looking for it. You get pretty excited. Down there at the end, we hear about Anna. Anna was 84 years old. 84 years old. What was she doing? She had been waiting for the birth of the Savior. She had waited and waited and waited. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. All right, you have your Bible. Matthew chapter 1, look back, if you will, in verse 16. We could start, you know, if you wanted to, in verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And, man, it begins, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob. But we get over to verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Hey, they had waited. They had waited for generations. waited for generations for the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is they had waited since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You say, what happened? We'll go back there and let's take a look, all right? Genesis chapter 3. Good thing about Genesis, it's not hard to find. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Here's the promise of God. This promise was given to Adam and Eve. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Hey, they had been waiting since that day, waiting since the time of Adam for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was going to bruise the head of that serpent. They had been waiting since Abraham's day. He said, how do you figure? Well, don't you remember Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah to offer him there? He carried him there. And Isaac looked at Dad and said, Dad, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said prophetically, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. Hey, they'd been waiting since Abraham's day for the provision of that lamb to be offered for the sins of the world. They had been waiting, I'm telling you, a day or two. They had been waiting since the day of David. You read Psalm 22, that 22nd Psalm, David prophesies the coming and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that Psalm, they had been waiting since that day. We talk about the Babylonian captivity. We've been there in the book of Daniel in Sunday school. And they had been waiting since that day. Daniel looked ahead in time and was told the Christ child's going to be born. They had been waiting since that day. Hey, you talk about waiting. They knew something about waiting. They had waited for the coming of the Lord. And that day when Simeon in Luke chapter 2 stepped into the temple and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, that babe, the Holy Ghost revealed unto him, there's the one you've been waiting on. There's the one you've been waiting on. He's here. Simeon went over and took that child in his arms. And he said, no, Lord, in verse 29, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. They had been waiting. They had been waiting. Many, many years. You said, but preacher, we're not waiting today. Oh, but we are. We are. Hey, it's 2,000 years later, but we're still waiting. Now, we're not waiting for the first advent, but we're waiting for the second advent. That's what we're waiting for. Not for his coming as a babe. Not for his coming as the Lamb of God. But the coming we're waiting on is for his coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That coming that's depicted. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, would you? Romans chapter 8. That is, I'm saying to you, the hardest thing about Christmas, the worst part's waiting. Waiting. I didn't enjoy waiting as a child. I don't enjoy waiting as an adult. I don't like it. They called me to the table today. I went home. I'd sat back in the recliner. I figured my wife didn't need any help. She had two children and two in-laws. And I thought, if the five of them can't do it, they surely don't need me. So I was sitting in there in the recliner. And my son said, Dad, we're about to eat. And I got up, went in there. They weren't really about to eat. They were still in the preparatory stages, you know. And I'm not always that way, but man, this morning went home, I was hungry. I dipped into some of the goodies that were there before, but I was still hungry at time, and it's that waiting. But look what the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Boy, over and over we see that word wait and waiteth. That's where we are today. That's where we are. We're waiting today. We're not waiting for his coming as the Lamb. We're waiting for his return to this earth. And notice the way the Bible tells it, all right? It says, hey, we're waiting because we're heirs of God. We're waiting to receive the inheritance that's coming our way. We're waiting on that. We're not waiting on someone to die so we can get that, because already the death has taken place, all right? But what we're waiting for, we're waiting for the redemption of this body. Now, to make it more challenging, though, and tougher the wait, we've got just a little taste of it. We've got just a little taste of what's coming. You know how you get around that fixings for the big Sunday dinner or the Sunday supper, whichever one you eat, or Sunday afternoon meal, I don't know. And you get in there and you, if you're like me, you sneak a taste every now and then. Go by and just take a little bit of taste, whatever you're going to have. We have a tradition in our house now. We eat Mexican food. And we have tamales and enchiladas and beans and rice. And I like to get in there and try the beans out and see how they're coming, you know. I want to try it out just a little bit. And there's nothing quite like being able to just sample a little bit. You say, well, preacher, how do you figure we have that sample? We have that sample in the person of the Holy Ghost. We have that. Did you see that in the scripture where we read, all right? Man, I've got to find it now, all right? For one thing, the Spirit in verse 16 beareth witness of our spirit that we are the children of God, all right? We are, and we've received him. He's within us, all right? He's within us. We have him there. We have that earnest, okay? In verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We've got a taste of what it's going to be like through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, preacher, man, you're losing me. Well, I don't want to lose you, but I want to tell you this. It's the reason a lot of God's people don't understand this doctrine is because you have to yield to that Spirit. All right? He doesn't move in and just take over. You yield to him. But if you yield to him, you get a taste of the wonderfulness of the life of the child of God. You get a little bit of taste, a little bit of dip of that honey that's coming, all right? And the fellowship with the Father, all right? We have that taste in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll yield to him and allow him to rule in your life, you'll find how wonderful that is. But then that makes you want and long for more. You get dissatisfied with this old body. You get dissatisfied with this old body. You know, not, hey, now there's some of us here, we're dissatisfied with it because it's old. And we've got the aches and the pains that come with age. Our eyes don't work as good as they used to. Our ears don't work as good as they used to. Our knees don't work as good as they used to. There's problems here and there physically. But let me say this, that's not what I'm talking about. The problem of this old body is it likes to sin. It likes to sin. The closer you get to the Lord, the closer you learn to walk with Him in this life, the more you come to the realization that it's this old body that's giving us trouble, all right? It's the body that yearns to sin. It's the flesh that wants to indulge itself into those things God says don't. And boy, when you get into that, you get aggravated. I don't know about you, but I get ashamed when I sin and disappoint my Savior. But I also get aggravated. Get aggravated. Oh, that I didn't have those desires. That I didn't have to deal with that problem. Hey, well, we're waiting for the adoption and we're waiting for the redemption of the body. Because when the Lord comes back, we read over there in the scripture about the rapture, which some folks don't believe in. But we read about that, and the Bible says we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. All right? This corruptible needs to put on incorruption. That day's coming. Now, the bad thing is usually those verses are only read and mentioned at funerals. So it comes with it tinged with sadness. But the truth is, that ought to be some verses that excite us with the realization one of these days, this body's going to be swapped. It's going to be changed out. We're going to have a new one. One that's not affected, that has no sin, and that no longer has to deal with that. We will not only be freed from the penalty of sin, but the presence of sin won't have the possibility of sin because we got a new body. Oh, man, that's something. Hey, can I tell you, what are we doing? Well, we're waiting on that. We're waiting on that. Look with me in Titus chapter 1, would you? Titus chapter 1. Here's what we're waiting on. We look forward to this day, but once again, we're having to wait for it. I said Titus 1, but it's Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. You said, preacher, what are we waiting on? Here's what we're waiting on. Titus chapter 2. Good to hear those pages turning. I'll wait just longer, let you get there. Titus chapter 2. What a verse. Here's what we're looking for. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Hey, we're looking for the glorious appearing of our Savior. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for Him to come. We're listening for the shout. We're listening for the trump of God. That's what we're waiting on. I'm not waiting on Christmas Day to get here so much. Oh, I'm looking forward to Christmas Day because I like homemade Mexican food. But it's not so much that. I'm listening for that sound of the trumpet. I'm listening for the voice of God to say, come up hither. Come up hither. That's what I want. You say, what are you doing? We're waiting for that. That's what we're waiting on. And I'm reminded of a song. That song says, oh, Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout that glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. That's what we're waiting on. The verse starts, it may be at morn when the day is awaking. I can't remember the other words to it, but that's what we're waiting on. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here. We're just waiting on that. I've been saved. and tried to know the Lord and grown to love him, try to get closer to him every day. I'm hoping that in 2025, I'll be able to draw closer to him than I've ever been before. But I hope in 2025 to see him. I hope to see him. And I hope to see him not through death, but through the rapture. Hope to see him. We're waiting on that. We're waiting on that, that day. Oh, said preacher, it's waiting. Yet waiting gets tedious. I hate it. I hate it. But there's some things worth waiting for. But can I say this to you? While you wait, don't just sit and long. Don't just sit and sing over and over, oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long? No, get involved in the work. While you wait, work. While you wait, work. I don't know what it's like at your house. I suspect it's the same way at everybody's house. You have company coming, and you know company's coming, so what do you have to do? You got to clean the house. I found this. If you'll push off cleaning long enough, you'll be amazed at how time flies when you're trying to clean at the last minute, all right? You'll be amazed. I don't suggest you do that, but here's the key. Work. If you're doing something while you're waiting, the wait doesn't seem as tedious. And the Lord says to us, hey, he's coming back. He's coming back for those that are looking for him. But he's coming back to reward those that are working for him. So are you working? Are you doing anything? Worst part of Christmas, waiting, waiting. So what do you do while you wait? Work, work, keep busy. Keep busy for the Lord. Let other people know. Advertise, witness. Be faithful to God. Serve him. Do what his bidding. Hey, get a little bit better taste of the Lord by yielding to the Holy Spirit who's within you if you're saved. He's taken up residence in you. It's that which points out that sin makes you feel bad. Hey, yield to him. Draw closer to him. But serve him. Serve him. What are you doing while you wait? Kids in school wait for break. I have them ask me. Oftentimes they come to me and ask me what time it is because they think I don't know it's time for break. What time is it? I said, well, there's a clock. Can't you tell time? But they're interested. I have had them come and say, well, how long is it till we get out of school? I said, well, if you want it to be a long time, sit there and watch that clock. Because it seems like it doesn't move. But if you don't want it to seem to be so long, you get busy. You get busy. Yep, we're waiting for his return. But I hope we're not waiting, just sitting. Let's get after it. Let's serve the one we're waiting for. So when he comes, we'll not be found sitting idle. But we'll be found doing his will. Doing his will. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so glad that you came that first time. You were born, that babe, and then, Lord, you grew without sin. You lived your life. And, Lord, you went to the cross to pay for our sin. Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful for what you did for us. But, Lord, tonight, we're now waiting for that second coming. Waiting on the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Savior. But Lord, help us tonight that we'd not wait sitting idly by. Help us, Lord, that we'd wait serving you. We'd wait in constant activity, witnessing and working, laboring in the Master's vineyard. Lord, help us tonight. Bring conviction where it needs to be and help us to use the invitation tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand together, page 395. The Bible said, there's a great day coming, and we're going to sing, there's a great day coming. If you need to come, would you come? Hey, if you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ, would you come tonight? Would you come and trust him?